Reading from the Good News according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought perfumed oils with which they intended to go and anoint Jesus. Very early, just after sunrise, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll back the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked, they found that the stone had been rolled back, and it was a huge one. On entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, dressed in a white robe. This frightened them thoroughly, but he reassured them, "You need not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, the one who was crucified. He has been raised up. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Go now and tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee, where you will see him just as he told you." They made their way out and fled from the tomb, bewildered and trembling. And because of their great fear at first, they said nothing to anyone. And this is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To get that fire all together, and it wouldn't bother me. I'm so joyful tonight, and so glad, and so full of Easter. I'm sure some of you were relieved. You remember a couple of years ago when I stood on one side of the fire and Father Dirk on the other, and I put the light to it, and it was a virtual explosion of fire. And I said, "Oh, wow, that's great." And I looked through the fire, and I saw Father Dirk like this in terror. One thing that struck me tonight is how human the whole thing is. So many people have worked so long and lovingly preparing this celebration for you, but nothing that even with the best of intentions that any or all of us ever do together ever comes out perfectly. It would probably be dangerous if it did. What would God do with us after that if we ever did something perfectly? Isn't it interesting how he kind of teases us even at our best to remind us who's really in charge? I'm filled with Easter joy, and I hope to God that you are. But as one who, Sunday after Sunday and day after day, challenges you to see what bad shape the world is in, I could understand if you said to me, "How can you be so joyful?" Some of you might even say, "I used to be till I started listening to you about how much was wrong with the world and how much of it was somehow or other my fault and I didn't even know it." Well, I'm still joyful. And that's the deepest and fullest meaning of Easter. We are Easter people. We are people whose joy cannot be snuffed out altogether by anyone or anything. That's the real meaning of Jesus. Oh, they can put us down. They can walk all over us. They can kick us in the face. They can laugh at us. They can make fools of us. They can do what they will to us. But we have Christ no longer crucified only, but risen. And nothing, no one can defeat us in the final accounting. We have the risen Lord within us. Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure, in these weeks and months past since last we gathered for Easter Vigil, I told you time and again that the world is in a terrible shape. I've urged you to notice with me how bad things really are. But I hope to God and to the risen Christ that I always remembered to say, but they can get better, and they will. As long as there are Easter people like us, unwilling to give up, determined to start fresh again, I hope I remembered often enough to remind you that some of those furthest put down in the final accounting became those most highly exalted, lifted up by the love and the power of God, who triumphed in Jesus, who is risen. Be forewarned, if you come and gather here with this community of faith to celebrate in the weeks and months ahead, you'll be reminded again and again and again how much is wrong with the world and how desperately it needs you and people like you to do something about it. But if I fulfill my mission, and if I am true to my ordination and my role of service to this community, I'll keep on reminding you, it would be hopeless altogether but for Jesus. And because of Jesus, we will always have high hopes, no matter what. And so, in reflecting with you and for you for tonight's liturgy, I myself kind of took a look back over this year. In a kind of quick review for those who have, among other things, won God's blessing for enduring so many of my homilies, it'll be a very quick review. I'll tease you with a reminder. As I tried to answer the question for me, how can I be so joyful at Easter when so much is wrong with the world? I started reflecting on some of the answers to that question, and I remembered that young fellow in Ireland, so misshapen, so broken in body, so handicapped that he cannot even hold his head up straight, whose mother must embrace his head with her hands, while he, with an instrument on his head, pecks away at a typewriter, but has written a first-class prize novel. And it's really the story of his life, of the triumph of Jesus in his frail and handicapped flesh. And that makes me regain hope. And in spite of everything that's wrong, I look, so to speak, at him and I say, sing hallelujah. The Palestinians have been trampled underfoot for, what do we know, perhaps countless generations. They have been some kind of blur or blot on the map somewhere out there, distracting and annoying us at best. And in recent months, even in the midst of their suffering, they've become a people with a real face and feelings, with a culture and a life that must be reverenced and shared and defended and upheld. And even in the midst of their troubles, when I think of all of that, how the Palestinians have at last, whether we liked it or not, become a real people to us, a people with rights and a cry to heaven for God's justice or vengeance, then I say, sing hallelujah. I remember sharing with you my excitement not all that many weeks ago that our Holy Father, John Paul, the Pope, with all of his obvious, sincere leanings to a very conservative and careful way of looking at theology and the problems of today, was moved by the Holy Spirit and broke through and, as I said, gave it to us, east and west, north and south, and said, you will remake the universe in the image of the Lord. And when I heard the Pope speak, I said, sing hallelujah. I have lived to see it, and I'm not all that old. Pastor of a parish that was created by a handful of black people who had to sit in the worst seats behind a rope in neighboring churches not all that long ago. Some of them are still alive and blessing us by their presence in our community. And we have lived to see it, that a black man is at last being taken very seriously and more seriously each day as a potential candidate to be president of these United States, and that excites me, and I say, sing alleluia. We would have to ourselves have been deaf and somehow or other utterly insensitive to not be moved in recent weeks by the dramatic events at Gallaudet University. Deaf people, blind people, crippled people, old people have been pushed to one side by those who are strong and hale and hearty without ever giving an accounting of it. And in our time and in our place, deaf people stood up and spoke, and they made us listen with new ears and hear something we hadn't heard before. And when I heard it, I said, ooh, sing alleluia. I'm troubled as a priest ordained to a very special ministry in the church to know that these two young men, notably younger than myself, are among the precious few young Holy Ghost fathers. It troubles me that there are so few priests for a church that keeps getting larger and larger. But I look a little more deeply and I say, oh my God, the people are finally discovering that there is a priestliness in all the people, and they're beginning to be ministers in the church in ways that priests of old never allowed or even dreamed of. And when I look at these priestly people who have become so involved in this parish and in so many places around the world, I see these lay priests and I say, sing alleluia. And in this past year, it's been a sad part of my ministry, as it always is, to preside at the funeral services of parishioners who've died. The last, a beautiful old lady called Amanda, whose name means she must be loved. And we loved her, but we had to let her go. But we believe and we know that she has gone from us into the fullness of his glory. And when I think of Amanda's spirit and the spirits of all our parishioners, all our sisters and brothers who have died in whatever ways, I see their spirits soaring upward into the glory of God and the fullness of life. And I say, sing alleluia. And then I look and I see that there are many parishioners, many sisters and brothers still here in our midst, still able to hear this message before it's too late, to be reminded that Jesus is Lord and he will triumph no matter what powers and forces are set up against him. And he will do it in us and through our hands and our hearts and in our spirits if we'll just let him. In a word, I look and I see we're not dead yet. We're alive, and that has fantastic possibilities for what will make a difference in the world. And when I look at you living and breathing with me now in this sacred moment and in yet another Easter, I say, ooh, sing, sing alleluia. Because we are the Easter people, and alleluia is our song. They may put us down. They may cause us pain. And life may make us very discouraged. But always, as the Easter people, we're free to open our eyes a little further and open our hearts again and see triumph in Jesus, risen Lord. And we say together, oh, sing alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Sing alleluia. Alleluia.